Amen. The part of the chapter we're going to focus on is found in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 14, where the Bible says, "For we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." And the title of my sermon this evening is, "As Water Spilt on the Ground." As water spilt on the ground. And before I go over the story here, obviously, this story is surrounding three specific characters: Joab, David, and Absalom. Excuse me, four if you include the woman from Tekoa, the wise woman there. But if you look at the life of David, obviously David was a great man, okay? And we would esteem David as being obviously a man after God's own heart. He's the one who wrote the majority of the Psalms. He's someone who we would want to pattern our life after, someone who loved the Lord, okay? And he had a great heart for God. He did a lot of great exploits for him as well. You look throughout his life and you study his life, he was the man who slew the lion and the bear. Yep. And he's a man who did great exploits for him. He's also the guy who took down Goliath. And so many biblical principles that we can get from David's life that he did physically that we can apply spiritually that can help us in our personal lives. He wrote the Psalms. The Bible calls him the sweet psalmist of Israel. He did some great things for God, but the fact is, just like any other person in the Bible, he's a guy who made a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of bad decisions. And unfortunately, he suffered a lot of the consequences because of it. And I'm kind of thankful that he made those mistakes. You say, why is that? Because it goes to show that even though you make mistakes in life, you can still live a successful Christian life. Because you look at David, David was still esteemed even in the New Testament as being a great man of God. He's still found in the lineage of Christ. He's one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament, even though he committed some bad sins. I mean, of course, he committed adultery. He was involved in the plotting of the murder of Uriah. I mean, these are some bad things that he did. But yet you see throughout the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, when God would deal with a certain king, he would often bless them. And he would say, "For my servant David's sake." I mean, this is the guy who committed adultery. He committed murder, all these things. And yet God is telling these future kings, "I will bless you in the kingdom for my servant David's sake." Okay, and obviously he's in the lineage of Christ and he was doing it for that sake, but he was using his name in that area. Now go with me if you would to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. You know, the one of the horrible sins that he committed was obviously adultery, right? And this man took another man's wife and he committed a horrible act with her. And just kind of after that, David's life just kind of went downhill for a while. Look what 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." So this is Samuel, the prophet, confronting David for his sin. And thank God for the prophets, amen, who are willing to just confront the man of God, or excuse me, confront the king and say, "Hey, you did wrong," amen. Right? And let's read on here. Verse 11 says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." So we see here that obviously David came to his senses. He said, "I sin against the Lord," right? But that does not mean that he didn't live without consequences. Amen. Now, this isn't the message, but one thing that should keep us from messing up our lives and making bad decisions is the fact that the Bible says there, "Thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." You know, when we mess up, when we do something that is wrong in the eyes of the Lord, you know, that causes the name of Christ to be blemished. Okay? It causes us to be a bad representative of the Lord. And look, especially guys in our movement, right? People, I mean, the world is just looking for us to mess up so they can just blame it on us and say, see, those guys are a bunch of phonies, they're a bunch of fakes, they're a bunch of hypocrites. No, that's why we got to make sure we're living clean lives. Amen. Okay? So we don't blaspheme the name of the Lord. But that's, we see that that's what took place here. But of course, David repented. We see that in Psalms 51, so on and so forth. So then, you know, David's child dies. Then, of course, his daughter gets raped. And then just a whole slew of bad events takes place soon thereafter. Absalom kills his son, or kills his half-brother. Then he leaves, he takes off. Joab is trying to renew him back again. But he uses this woman to deceive, to basically feign herself, to be a mourner, to basically trick David into bringing Absalom back. And she says there, "For we must needs die, and our water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again." So before I get back into that story, I just want to give an introduction to what we're talking about here. Obviously, as I mentioned before, David made a lot of bad decisions. And life is filled with decisions that we have to make. And there are decisions that we make that we just can't take lightly. Amen. You know, we need to put thought into it. You know, there's thoughts that we just have to make. There's decisions that we have to make on a whim, where it's just like we have no choice. We have to make the decision here and now. But there's certain other decisions that people make, big decisions, that they need to put thought and prayer into. And if they don't, they can suffer bad consequences of doing so. But as believers, we have a lot of decisions to make. Obviously, there's a decision to trust Christ as our Savior. That's the best decision you could ever make, right? The best decision that any Christian has ever made is to trust Christ as their personal Savior, to be saved, and to have eternal life. Then, of course, there's the decision to follow the Lord, right? Because obviously, we have a choice. After we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we have a choice if we're going to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord, to obey His commandments, to serve Him. That's a good choice to make. And you know, there's a lot of Christians out there, people who have gotten saved, whether through soul winning or whatever it may be, and they stay in the world, they stay doing the same thing, they don't do anything for God, and that's the choice that they make. But guess what? They will suffer the consequences of making that choice. You say, what do you mean they will suffer the consequences? They will suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? They won't get anything from God, they won't get any rewards, they'll get eternal life, but that's it. And by the way, that's a good thing for them to get. But you know what? If God is offering much more than that, we ought to be able to take advantage of it and say, I want to work for God because I want to earn something when I get to heaven. Amen. All right? There's the decision to serve the Lord. And all of us need to make that decision. Okay? And we thank God for those who trust Christ and they get saved. But we want everyone to be servants of the Lord. Would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Amen? Amen? They would prophesy and preach and be soul winners and be involved in the work of God. That's what God wants. Not everyone's going to make that decision though, right? Now, as I mentioned, there are decisions do have consequences. Go to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Decisions have consequences. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And of course, prior to these verses, the Bible's commanding us to communicate to those who are preaching the Word of God. And what is the Bible teaching us? That when we invest in the work of God, we invest in the pastors and the churches, you will reap a benefit because of that. But this is a principle that we can apply in all areas of our life. Because a lot of the times people just live life, they sin, they get involved in sinful habits, and what happens? They suffer the consequences of their actions. They smoke their pot, they drink their alcohol, they fornicate, they commit adultery, they live a double life, they do all these wicked things thinking that no consequence is going to take place. No, there will be a day of reaping. The things that you do. Okay? There will be consequences. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that ought to motivate us to stay right with the Lord, to do that which is right inside of His eyes, because we know, I'm going to reap what I sow in these sinful habits. I'm going to reap what I sow in my actions, or what I'm teaching my children, or the things that I'm doing. I'm going to reap what I sow. Why? Because decisions have consequences. And you know, we live in a society where teenagers and young people live their life as if there's no consequences to their actions. You know, they race their cars and thinking that they're going to live forever. And what happens? They end up dying. Get into some horrible accident, okay? You know, they go out and they party, they drink, and they get alcohol poisoning, trying to get their stomach pumped, and they end up dying. Yeah. at the age of 18, because they think that life, they can just live life, they're invincible, nothing's going to happen to them. No, decisions have consequences. You know, how many stories have we heard of people, teenagers, that go out to parties and they take ecstasy thinking nothing's going to happen to them? And what happens? They die. Yep, right. They take some pill, some woman takes some pill, and she gets raped. There's consequences to action. There's always consequences to the decisions we make. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. You know, and that's a great verse to just get embedded into our minds to help us make the right decisions. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, 27, whoso diggeth the pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. And look, it's good that life has consequences, okay? That's why God commands us to spank our children.
Amen.
So they understand that they can't live life doing whatever they want and there will be no consequences to it. They need to grow up recognizing, hey, life has consequences. And we can look at our culture and see who got spanked and who didn't. Amen? Those who didn't just do whatever they want. They get involved in the worst, heinous of sins. Why? Because they don't know that there's consequences to their actions. People who think a little more thoroughly, the actions that they take are those who obviously were chastised when they were children. And they grow up believing that. Now go to 1 John chapter 5. David was experiencing the consequences of his actions. I mean, to lose a child is painful. You know, that must be a very painful, painful experience to have. But those were the consequences of his actions. You know, he lost a lot. I mean, the sword did not depart from his house. He had to go through turmoil in his family simply because he made a bad choice. You know, at a time when kings go forth to battle, he stayed back in Israel, in Jerusalem. He stayed back in his kingdom, in his palace, just hanging out, being lazy. And what happened? He made a bad decision. Okay. But not only that, decisions have consequences, but there are consequences, thankfully, that God allows us to fix. That's a good thing. The Bible says, you're in 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read to you from verse 13 of 2 Samuel. It says, And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. He says, look, you confessed it, you got right, you repented, you're not going to die. And God allowed him to fix that. You know, he didn't die because of his sin. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. You know, there's times when God will allow you to just not get away with it, but you know what? If you repent and you get right, God is merciful. God is gracious. I mean, I think all of us can think back to a time where we shouldn't have gotten it. We should have gotten it from God.
Right.
And we didn't. Right? So before you get prideful, and before you get so arrogant, and before you want to just slam the new believer and all these things, why don't you think back to the time when it could have been you who went to jail? It could have been you who would have died. It could have been you with the DUI. It could have been you with all these the consequences of actions, but God allowed you to get away with it because the mercies of God are new every day. You know, we ought to be thankful and say, man, that could have been me. You know, sometimes God allows us to fix problems. And thank God for that. Take advantage of that. Look, if God has allowed you to fix your life and he's given you the resources, he's been merciful to you, he's been gracious, don't get proud. Allow that to humble you. And say, man, I got a second chance to do right in the sight of the Lord. You know, God has allowed me to fix this thing. There will be times when God allows you to fix it. Go to Joel chapter number 1. Joel chapter number 1. You know, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. You know, and thank God for the mercies, his mercies. You know, were it not for his mercies, we'd be consumed.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, our lives would be destroyed were it not for the mercies of God. And that ought to humble us, that ought to cause within us to be thankful, to be grateful for the grace of God. Look at Joel chapter 1, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. You see here, it's like God left them with nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, even the last morsel of whatever was left, the caterpillar ate it up. And you could almost apply that to a spiritual application to say, man, I mean, we lost everything, right? The sin just wrecked your life, or it just, you suffer the consequences of your actions, and you just felt like you're left with nothing. Now go to Joel chapter 2, verse 23. It says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain in the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month, and the floors shall burst, the floors shall be full of wheat, I need to turn to myself. This is cutting my my notes are being cut off. My printer. Sorry. Verse 24. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years. Look what it says. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. You know, God is able to restore that which the palm worm, the all those things, they ate it up. God says, I can restore that again.
Right.
You know, and you think, man, I messed up my life and when I was a teenager. Well, you know, God can restore those things.
Amen.
Okay? God can fix that up. You can still get married. You can still have a great family. You can still be a great father, a great wife, have children, be a faithful laborer in your church. God can still use you. He can restore those things. Why? Because there's times in our life when God allows us to fix things. Okay? And we need to take advantage of those times. Now go back to 1 John chapter number 5. So we see that decisions, all of us have decisions to make. Decisions have consequences. Some consequences that we have, God allows us to fix those things, and we ought to be thankful for them. But let me say this, there are consequences that are just irreparable to make. Okay? They can't be fixed. You know, that's just life. In fact, the Bible says, the Bible says, for we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. You know what that means? Look up here. It means this. Mark, can you pick that up for me? Why not? Because it's water spilt on the ground that can't be gathered again. You see, God has given a good illustration here that there's certain decisions that when you make, can't pick that up again. You messed up. You screwed up. And it won't be fixed. And I've seen Christians over the years make stupid decisions over and over again. And eventually what happens? It's like water spilt on the ground. Can't pick that up again. The decision is final. It's made. You can't fix it. You can't try to dry it up. You can't try to pick it up. It can't be gathered up again. And the reason God puts that within his word is to cause us to fear, to recognize the next decision that I make could be like water spilt on the ground that can no longer be gathered up again.
Amen.
So that causes us to think in our minds, I better pray or I better do the right decision so that I don't suffer the consequences of making a bad decision. Because my next decision, really, could be like water spilled on the ground that can't be gathered up again.
Amen.
How many people have you met that have just messed up their lives?
Yeah.
You know, you have extreme cases where people took LSD or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they just fried their brain for the rest of their life.
Right.
They're retarded for the rest of their life. You know, that's an extreme example, but you know what they did? It's like water spilled on the ground. It can't be gathered up again. Their brain is fried. They can't do anything about it. Or what about people that have children out of wedlock or whatever it may be? The bad decisions do you make and it can't be gathered up again. Now, let me say this. If that's you today, the grace of God can help you, and we ought to focus on the next generation to help our children live right. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you need to do. Not just have a pity party of all the things that we've done. No, God's been good to us. Let's go ahead. Look, we may not be able to pick up that water that we spilt on the ground, but there's water that we can prevent from going out of the cup.
Amen.
In the future.
Amen.
You may have made some bad decisions and the water spilled. It can't be gathered. Man, I messed up. But you know what? You can fix something in the future for your kids.
Amen.
And we ought not to have this Hezekiah mentality where it's like, well, it was good in my days, you know, and not worried about the next generation. No, we need to make sure that we say, look, I may have messed up in the future, but guess what? My kids are not going to spill the water like I did. Yeah. Water spilled on the ground that can't be gathered up again. You know, this church is like that too. They made some stupid decisions. And the stupid decisions that they make is like water spilt on the ground that can't be gathered up again. They've made irreparable damage to their church.
Yep.
To their messages, to their methods, through their tolerance of sin. And what is it? It's like water spilt on the ground that can't be gathered up again.
Amen.
It won't be fixed. And there's sincere people within these churches. Guess what? You're not going to turn the tide.
Yep.
It's done.
Yep.
You say, why is that? How do you know it's done, Brother Bruce? Pick up that water if you don't think it's done. It can't be gathered up again. You messed it up. The congregants did it, but the leaders did. So you say, well, what should I do? You need to get into a church that's right.
Amen.
Oh, you're just prideful and you're just arrogant. No, I just know this. The Bible commands us to live a certain way, to run church a certain way. And guess what? We want to make sure here at Faithful Word that we're preventing the water from being spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. We want to make sure that we're not spilling the water for the next generation, that they come and they can't fix it. You see, the leaders of today in these churches, what is it? It may not affect them, the decisions they're making. But guess what? Their kids are going to want to pick up the water that they spill and they won't be able to do it. Their kids are they're gonna be like, what's all these homos in the church?
Yeah.
And guess what? They're gonna be permeated with so much filth and disgusting sins within the church. A little leaven at the whole lump. And guess what? They won't be able to fix it. Because it's like water spilt on the ground. Can't be gathered up again. Decisions have consequences. That goes for a family, that goes for an individual, that goes for a church. We need to make sure that we're not careless in our Christian life to just make whatever decision we make on a whim and not think that there's not consequences to those actions.
Amen.
Why? Because it's just water spilled on the ground, can't be gathered up again. And look, you may not care that the water's being spilled on the ground, but you will care a few years from now when you see the fruits that are produced by the actions that you took.
Amen.
And you gain some wisdom in life. You're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that stupid decision. You know, I wish I wouldn't have led my church in that direction. Well, it's kind of late now. You know, the water's already spilled. You can't gather it up again. It's done. Where do I have you turn? 1 John chapter 5. All my notes are wet now. I can't gather it up again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 says, if a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. You know, there's certain decisions you make. It's like, you don't even have to pray for that. That's like an Israel type thing, right? Where God told Jeremiah, don't even pray for these people. We say, hey, pray for them to be saved. No, God's like, don't pray for them. I ain't listening. Well, there's times that people make bad decisions where it's like, you're not going to be able to pray your way out of this one. You're just going to suffer the consequences of those actions. Okay? It says it. I do not say that he shall pray for it. I mean, you can't even pray your way out of that. You're just going to have to suffer you slept in your bed, now you got to, what is it? You made your bed, now you got to sleep in it.
Yeah.
Right? You got to suffer face the music, suffer the consequences of your actions. And look, any church that is, you know, going in that type of direction where they're allowing the sodomites in, they're allowing all the queers in, all the drunkards and all the fornicators. They think, oh, we're being so loving. Nothing's bad's going to happen out of this. Come back in 5 years and let's see where that church is at.
Right.
The den of iniquity that place will become because of the bad decisions that they make. And at that time, they're going to pray. And guess what? It's already done. You already made that mistake. It's already set in stone. You already spilt the water on the ground. It can't be gathered up again. You know, we can apply that to just anywhere in our lives. And it's kind of a sobering thought to think that there's decisions that we can make that could just jack us up.
Yeah.
But you know what? It causes us to want to make the right decisions in the future. It causes us to want to make sure that we're walking circumspectly.
Yeah.
Not as fools, but as wise.
Amen.
So look, you need to think it through, whatever decision you're going to make. I'm not talking about like what tie you're going to wear for church, okay? Like where we're going to go to eat after church. Hey, we need to pray about it. Like, this could be like water spilt on the ground. You know, Little Caesars or Prontos. I don't know. Water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. You know, that's money that could be wasted and we can't get it back. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about decisions of, you know, the associations that you have. You know, I'm talking about decisions as far as a sin that you might want to commit. You know, you may not live with a lot of accountability. You know, we're not the Baptist police here. We're not like checking up on you and seeing, make sure that you're living right and then you're keeping sin out of your life and all these. That's weird if we were to do that. You know, that's between you and the Lord. But guess what? If you are committing some sort of sin and you think you're not going to be found out, you could be committing the sin that can just be like water spilled on the ground that can't be gathered up again. We may not find it out, but guess what? Be sure your sin will find you out.
Right.
And that decision does come with consequences. Before you make the decision to associate with certain people, before you make the decision to just leave church, right? Because sometimes we get discouraged or whatever, maybe, or you get bored with church, or the things of this world call for your attention, and you just want to take a break a little bit. You don't want to go soul winning. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to come here listen to hard preaching. Before you make that decision, you might want to think it through, especially if you have a family, right? Now, as a single, you'll suffer the consequences of those actions. But as a family, you will you not only will you suffer the consequences of your actions, your family will suffer the consequences. Amen. I mean, I know of a family who left church long ago. They left, not this church, another church. They left church long ago. Faithful members. And the child doesn't even know who Jesus is. I mean, my wife was talking to the child and talking about Jesus, and the kid was like, I don't know who Jesus is. Who's that, you know? That's sad.
Right.
You see, when I mean irreparable damage, that means the next generation that comes after you will probably even die and go to hell.
Yeah.
Because they don't know anything about the Lord. And if you're out there, because here's the thing, the mindset that people have when they leave church is like, oh, I don't want to talk about church to my kids because I'm not in church. You know, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. And what happens? They don't mention church. They don't talk about the Bible. They don't talk about the Lord. And their kids grow up not being conditioned to know that this is what the Bible says. And they reject the Lord. That's irreparable damage. That's water spilled on the ground that can't be gathered up again. And then later on in life, when they grow up and they mess up their lives, you regret the decision you made. And say, man, I wish I would have just stayed in church, been faithful to the Lord. I wish I would have just done right. But guess what? It's too late. It's like water spilled on the ground. It can't be gathered up again. So why don't we just rewind to today and you make the decision to just stay in church, to do right in the sight of the Lord, to lead your children to the Lord, to talk to them about Christ, to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Make those decisions today. Because tomorrow, if you choose not to, that could be like water spilled in the ground and you can't pick that up again. By the way, Alex, I need you to kind of dry this all up afterward. No, I'm just kidding. I made a mess up here. Oh, it's like water spilled on the ground. You know, and this doesn't necessarily apply to anybody here. At least I don't think so. But before you decide to pair up with people who hate us as a church and as a movement, who despise us and talk trash about us and say all this, you know, false accusations, you might want to think that through.
Amen.
You know, you want to have it both ways. You know, it doesn't really work that way. Now look, I don't disassociate myself from anybody unless they're just believing some false doctrine. But I do know this. You hang around someone who hates someone you know long enough, you're going to hate that person too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the way it works. You know, if I'm criticizing Mark, and all I do is criticize Mark, but Alex gets along with Mark, and Alex hangs around me long enough, guess what? Alex is going to hate Mark too.
Yeah.
He's going to criticize him too. And you hang around with the pastors and you talk to the pastors and the preachers and all these other people from maybe the old IFB and they hate our guts and all they do is talk trash. They put us down. Then guess what? You're going to be convinced of what they think too. Now, I don't think that's anybody here, but lest anyone should believe so or may have the temptation to do that, you better think twice. You say, why is that? Because that could be like water spilled on the ground that can't be gathered up again. What's the message this evening? It's simply this. Just think through the decisions that you make in life. You know, people, look, fornication is a wicked sin. It's obviously not a sin that's worthy of death. It's a sin that's worthy of you being booted out of the church. And that should be enough to say, man, you know, if you're tempted to fornicate or do some wicked sin like that, you know, if you're tempted to flirt with the opposite gender to the point where you're placing yourself in a position where you might be tempted to fornicate, it'd be a good decision for you to get out of that relationship. Amen. And stay away from that. You say, yeah, but I think I'm strong enough. Look, take heed lest ye fall. Amen. He that standeth, take heed lest he fall. Because once you commit that wicked sin, it's over with. Now, adultery is another wicked sin. That one is worthy of death. Yep. Now, in the United States, you know, they don't put people to death for committing adultery, but it's still a wicked sin. Right. And we should never place ourselves in a position with that where we could potentially be tempted by that. Why? Because that's a sin that when once you commit, I mean, you have a whole load of problems you can never fix ever again. Yep. Okay? And thankfully that God can fix problems and he can restore certain things. But everyone knows that there will always be things lingering in the back of the decisions you made. Water that's just evident that was spilled, but it can't be gathered up again. You know, and I'm talking to the people who haven't been married yet. I'm talking to people who haven't messed up their lives yet. Look, think it through. Okay? Think it through. Don't make those bad decisions. Look, before you decide to, like, shut me off, if I'm ever preaching a sermon that offends you, and you're like tired of listening to me, before you decide to shut me off, you might want to think it through. Because these messages can help you. It'll save you. It's not like I'm just getting up here. I want to rip your face and I want to get in your face. No, it's because I care about you. Amen. And at least you know that I have the guts to tell you the truth. And I can speak the truth in love to show you, hey, don't mess up your life. Amen. You have people here who care about you. Don't get involved in that sin. Don't believe that stupid doctrine. Or else, guess what? It could be like water. I need another water bottle. I'm out of water. It could be like water spilled in the ground that can't be gathered up again. And before you decide to determine, I'm not going to listen to that. Look, that message can save your life. Right. You know, how many times have there been people that, you know, just disregard a message and they mess up their lives in the future because they didn't take heed to that? I mean, I can think of thousands of messages that I've heard that have helped me in the future. Maybe immediately I didn't understand, but I knew because the Bible said I ought to obey, and guess what? It saved me a lifetime of hurt. Amen. But you know what? If I would have said, this preacher don't know what he's talking about. He's just on his hobby horse right now. You know? I could have made a stupid decision, and it could have been like water spilt on the ground, and I would have just messed up my life. But I'm thankful that I had a preacher who ripped my face off. Amen. Behind the pulpit and away from the pulpit. Amen. People who would just tell it to me straight. They would rip my face. They would tell me when I was wrong. They would rebuke me. And guess what? It saved me a lifetime of hurt. Amen. Because they told me the truth. Okay? And look, rebuke a wise man and he will yet love thee.
Right.
And I'm not saying, look, you got to love me over here, okay? What I'm saying is this, if you're wise, you'll take heed to the rebuke. Amen. All right? Not to make bad decisions. Let me give you some thoughts on decision making here. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. First and foremost, let me say this, is that every decision should always be based upon God's word.
Amen.
Okay? And look, I'm not God's word. I'm preaching God's word. All right? So the things that I'm speaking obviously stem from a biblical principle. Okay? That's why it needs to be heeded. All right? I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm not giving you what my standard is in life. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. Amen. Therefore, it needs to be heeded. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29, look what the Bible says here. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Those are strong words. And God says, look, if you hate my knowledge, you hate my counsel, fine. You're going to be filled with your own ways. You're going to suffer the consequences of your own actions. You're going to be grieving with the water spilt on the ground, and you're going to be asking, how can I gather this up again? And you're not going to be able to fix it. You know, the best thing for Christians to do is just say, what does God say? What does the Bible say? And go with that. But how many times have we run into Christians that you show them the Bible, you show them counsel from the Word of God, and they completely disregard it? That's a dangerous place to be. Yeah, I know the Bible says that, but no, that's a dangerous place to be. It should be, that's what the Bible says? All right, I'll believe it. Amen. I mean, how many, I've run into soul winners, people out soul winning, and I appreciate them. They don't believe they deserve going to hell. And then I'll reiterate this matter of hell, and I'll give them the verses, Revelations 21:8, chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. I'll give them all these verses, and I said, do you believe now that you deserve hell? And they'll say, well, if the Bible says it, then yeah. I guess that's what the Bible says, so yeah, I do deserve it. And it's they're basing their belief off of the Word of God. But we can't even get Christians who've been saved for a long time to be told the Word of God, and they're just like, well, I guess that's what the Bible says. Yeah, I'm going to accept it. No, they have to just say, why? Well, that's what the Bible, well, you're just interpreting it differently. No prophecy of the Scripture is given of any private interpretation.
Amen.
Yeah, but you're misconstruing that verse. Well, let's compare with another verse.
Amen.
We should always base our decisions off of God's word, not in a prideful way, but we ought to say, look, the word of God is our, that's my counselor. Those are my counselors. His testimonies are my counselors. I had to see what the Bible says about that. Not what some book says about it. Not what this preacher says about it. We need to go with what God says about it.
Amen.
Okay. Now go to Proverbs chapter 19. So get in the habit of making decisions based off of the word of God. You know, as fathers, before we make a decision, we ought to ask ourselves, what does the Bible have to say about this? You know, and obviously there's sometimes the Bible doesn't say anything necessarily that's black and white. Sometimes it's a gray area, but it gives us principles to live by.
Amen.
To make the right decisions. Okay? But not only that, every decision obviously begins in the heart. All right? Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 19:21. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. That's why it's important to read the Word of God on a daily basis. You say, why is that? Because there's a lot of devices in a man's heart. There's a lot of imaginations and ideas that we conjure up on our own. But if we don't have the Word of God in our hearts, we're going to be driven by those imaginations. We're going to be driven by those counsels that our own soul gives us. Okay? And sometimes, guess what? Those are stupid ideas. You need to go with what God says. Not with what your heart. Don't follow your heart.
Amen.
That's the culture's foolish ideology to say, well, just follow your heart. What do you feel like doing? You know, what do you think this verse means? No, let's just go with what God says and the counsels of the Lord, that will stand.
Amen.
Okay? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 26. I'm going to give you an example of this. And you say, well, what does it have to do with, you know, making bad decisions and water spilt on the ground? Because often people make decisions based off of their own logic and reason, not off of God's word, and they suffer the consequences because of it.
Yep.
That's why God always tells us, lean not into thine own understanding, because we have the propensity to just think that we know life better than God. And we lean on our own understanding, and guess what? We suffer the consequences because of it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 17. The Bible reads here, and Saul knew David's voice and said, is this the voice, my son, thy voice, my son? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my Lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? So obviously we know the story of David and Saul. Saul was like trying to kill David. I mean, he's been trying to go after him for a very long time. And David's on the run. He's running away from Saul. He has so many times and opportunities to be able to slay Saul, but he doesn't. He doesn't want to touch the Lord's anointed. And Saul's on this paranoid trip to just kill David, right? Verse 19 says, now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go, serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. I mean, this is a great conversation right here. David is just like, man, I'm like a flea. And obviously, David's not a flea. This dude can take down a lion and a bear. Yeah. I mean, when you can kill a lion with your bare hands, you the man, okay? I don't know anybody who can do that. But yeah, he's coming before Saul and says, like, man, I'm like a flea. Why would you want to pursue after me? And the humility of David evokes mercy in the heart of Saul. And he kind of comes to his senses and says, man, you know, you're right. You know, I'm sorry. I've erred great exceedingly. Verse 22, and David answered and said, behold, the king's spear. And let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into mine hand today. But I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So how did the whole situation end? I'm not going to kill you. Go back. You'll be blessed. You do great things. You can go on your way. I'll go on my way. I mean, it was basically settled, right? David heard it from Saul's mouth. He's like, you're good to go, man. I'm not going to pursue you anymore. And that should have been enough for David just to go home. Right? Now look at chapter 27 and verse number 1. And David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So he went to the land of the Philistines. Even though Saul told him, hey, I'm not going to go after you. He's like, Now, someone tell me, how did David die? Anyone remember? Old age. He died with old age, you know, with his family there. I mean, he died the death that I think all of us would want to die. Amen. He didn't die by the hand of Saul. But what does verse 1 said? And David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. Never happened. But you know what? That foolish thought that he had caused him to flee to the land of the Philistines for like a year. All because he made a stupid decision based upon his own reasoning and logic. Was that true? No. Did it ever happen? No. But he ruined his life. I mean, he went into the land of... He could have just gone home. But instead he went to the land of the Philistines for like a year. All because he heeded his own advice, his own counsels, and didn't just take Saul at his word. But you know, this Christian's like that all the time. You know, the preacher says, don't mess up your life. Don't fornicate. Don't do this. Don't get into drunkenness. You'll be kicked out. You'll be this and that. And they're just like, yeah, but if I don't fornicate, I'm not going to have a good time in life. This opportunity is presenting itself right now. Or if I don't do this, I'm not going to be able to do this. And they use their own reasoning and logic. They go to the land of the Philistines, and guess what? Water spilt on the ground for the bad decision that you make, and it can't be gathered up again. Every decision that we make is important. Okay? And decisions have consequences, but we need to just... Sometimes when we make a decision, or we have a big decision to make, and sometimes you're emotional. He said, what do I do? Go to sleep. Do the thing called sleep. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back that up. Eat. Then go to sleep. Sometimes that's what it is. People are just emotional sometimes. And my father-in-law used to tell me, don't ever make a decision when your decision maker is broken. What does that mean? When you're just emotional, you make the dumbest decisions ever. I don't know what we're going to do. Let's just buy a car. You know, and then you spend all this money or you just make a bad decision, and then a week from now you're just like, man, that was dumb. Why did I do that for? I mean, all of us have made a dumb decision based upon our emotions, right? We just make an emotional decision, then we get a good night's rest, and what happens is like, that was stupid. You know? Sometimes when we have a big decision to make and it doesn't require immediate attention, you just need to go eat, you know, in and out or something. And go to sleep. Then you wake up and you're like, I guess I'm not going to really do that. That was really dumb. You know? And you can save yourself a lot of heartache if you just go to sleep. Because your emotions are just, they're just like this. And you feel like you got to make the decision right now. It needs to be done right. And it's like, no, it doesn't. You can wait like a week, a month, maybe even a year. You can just wait it out. Just go sleep. Go watch a sermon from Pastor Anderson. Go watch Marching of Zion. You know, go just have a pop. Go just relax for a little bit. Put your mind at ease and sleep on it. And look, sleep is a wonderful thing. I mean, what did God tell Elijah to do, right? Oh, Jezebel's going to kill me. It's like, you need to eat and sleep. Like, go, you know, I'll have ravens take care of you. I know there's a famine right now. I'll just send you a meal by the ravens, and you just need to sleep. He woke up. What did he do? He ate, and he went back to sleep. Amen. You know? Because Elijah just got finished having this crazy victory, doing what every pastor dreams of doing, killing a bunch of false prophets, you know? Just smashing on them, and then some Jezebel comes, and then he's like fleeing for his life from this woman. I mean, someone was just a little emotional at that time, right? Well, you know what God said? You need to eat and sleep, you know? And that's often what people just need to do. When you have a big decision coming, you just need, and if you're being emotional, just have a meal and go to sleep for a while. Go take, I tell my son needs a nap. Sometimes it's like my son is like, he's crying, he's like, ah! And then he's like, what do you want? You know, are you hungry or something? And you get, and he's not happy with anything. Like, no, no, no. It's like, okay, this kid needs to go take a nap. That's what he needs. He needs a spanking, and then he needs a nap soon thereafter. And you know what? He goes to sleep for a couple hours, and he wakes up, and he's the happiest, sweetest little boy ever. You know what I mean? And that works for children, but guess what? It works for adults, too. Well, the only difference is that you don't have anyone giving you a spank other than your Heavenly Father, obviously, right? But sometimes you just need to go to sleep. Now, go to Judges chapter, let's see here. We're almost out of there. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Don't make a decision that could be like water spilt on the ground, okay? And you will never forget this message. I highly doubt you will, because I just made a mess up here. But at least it'll help you to remember, hey, man, this my decisions, I need to make sure that I stay on point because that can ruin my life. Yeah. But not only that, every decision comes with an unexpected outcome. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Excuse me, pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. And here's the thing is, sometimes if you make a decision, you know, the reason why you got to take into account the decision you're making is sometimes you can just get a completely different outcome than what you thought you were going to get, you know, and it can just turn out way worse. It could come out good, but at the same time, it could be the worst decision you could ever make. See, no one goes into fornication thinking, oh, I'm just going to have a good time, or that's that, you know, nothing else is going to happen other than pleasure. But how many cases have there been when someone commits fornication thinking they're just going to have a good time and they get AIDS? They get an STD, you know, they get raped, they get robbed, or whatever it may be. You know, they come with unexpected outcomes if you make a bad decision. So you need to count the cost when it comes to the decisions you make, because it's not the immediate result that you're looking at. You have to look beyond that. What can come down the pipeline for this decision that I'm going to make here? And I'm pretty much done. Go to Romans chapter number 6. And I think this point right here, I think this will help us to make the right decisions probably more than anything. Every bad decision we make is always accompanied with shame. Always. Romans 6:21 says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You know, it helps us to recognize this sin, this decision can cause me a lot of shame. Yeah. You know? And it causes us to be careful and say, you know what? I'd rather just not do this. I'd rather stay far from this because I don't want the shame. We could be prideful people, amen? And that often could say, look, I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to be embarrassed. And amen to that. Thinking things through will help you so that you're not as water spilt on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. You know, and this sermon is for the young person, but it's also for the middle age. It's for the older person. It's for everyone. Because we all are going to face decisions that we got to make, but we got to recognize that decisions have consequences. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that it gives us, Lord. And I'm thankful that you've provided us wisdom. There's so many decisions that we have to make in life, and whether it's a decision to do right, it's a decision to not do wrong. And I pray that you help us to make the wise decisions in life so we don't mess up our lives. So we're not as water spilt in the ground that cannot be gathered up again. Bad decisions cause a lot of heartache. It ruins families. It ruins children and wives and husbands, relationships, churches. I pray you help us all, Lord, to make the wisest decision for our families, for our church, and for the events in the future. Lord, we love you so much and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.